Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am so excited today because I have with us Nancy Munson. Nancy is a soul purpose advocate devoted to helping people live a soul-directed life every day. She brings a multitude of skills, talent, wisdom, and a lifetime of transformational experience to guide people to reach the lives of their soul potential and purpose. Nancy, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. I'm excited to be here today with you.
I would love for you to start for people that don't know you that well yet and will know you better after our time together today. Share with us a little bit about how you came to your purpose and passion in life where you're making such a great contribution.
Oh, sure, Vicki. So it's been a long journey. Basically, you know, when I reflected on this, because I did some preparation for our call today, and I was really reflecting how it's worked. It's been following my impulses or my intuition. When I get a clear yes that was so clear to me, so loud inside of myself, that I just knew this was where I needed to go. You know, some people say follow your nose, but for me it was really about following my gut, you know, and really following where I had that clear, strong desire, I want this, let's go for this. And it's led me in a very non-linear path, but when I see at where I am now and what I'm doing with my life, all that I have lived really gets brought forward in service of my purpose, which is really to help people live their best life, live the life they were designed to live.
That is so beautiful. So tell us a little bit more about the instances that brought you to this. Like if you could give some examples, you know, our audience may be able to really relate to things that they're going through where maybe they're in a quandary about what that looks like for them.
Sure. So one of them, which I actually wrote about in one of the anthologies that I've been in, and it was about a very difficult time in my life. My story is called The Dark Night That Spawned My Liberation. And after business school, I was hired by one of the largest international consulting firms and was shipped out on the road working, you know, enormous amounts of hours and flying all over and never being home. And it was really, you know, doing whatever it took to be promoted and successful. And it was really toxic for me. I found myself one night waking up in darkness and panicking, not knowing where I was and how I'd gotten there. And it took a while before I actually could remember, oh, I'm in a hotel room and this hotel room is this city and this is how I got here. I mean, I was really that disoriented and exhausted. And it was basically a wake-up call for me. I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression and had to take 3 months off from work to recover. And that really was my spiritual wake-up call. It was a dark night, literally and, you know, metaphorically, because my soul was telling me, this is not your life's purpose. You need to be in a different place. And so that started my journey to really seek my spiritual purpose and my spiritual journey of learning who I really was designed to be and understanding the whole spiritual evolution of humanity. And now what I find is the women who come to me usually are going through some sort of dark night themselves, and they know they're meant for something greater than the job that they have, but they don't know how to get there or what it is. And so even though that was a difficult time in my life, it certainly was pivotal in shifting me to go in a more evolutionary, more rewarding, and more healthy direction?
You know, I had a very similar experience with when I was consulting. And there is something that I used to think of as very free, but there's something very alarming about waking up every morning and having no idea where you are.
Yes.
I consulted for 30 years, and honestly, Nancy, I had that same feeling of waking up every morning. It was another hotel room. I had no idea where I was until I had a couple seconds to orientate myself and my thinking. I don't believe that creates a great deal of spiritual peace and content.
No, certainly it wasn't for me. You know, some of my colleagues thrived in that environment, but it was not an environment where I was being able to contribute my best. I really felt like I had to work twice as hard to be as successful as my colleagues who were more designed for that. And it was years later, after I'd done a lot of my own research and learning and growing and attending all kinds of, you know, classes and healings, and I got a second master's degree in, you know, in Eastern philosophy and psychology, and it really helped me understand more why I went through that and why I wasn't a good fit for that. Even though, you know, I'm very smart and very capable, it's not my calling.
That is so beautiful. So for people who are out there and they maybe are starting to feel unrest and they are starting to discover their calling, share a little bit about how you made that big leap, because it's a huge leap. I can relate to it. You know, you're making enormous money. You're incredibly successful in the eyes of everyone, and yet you feel you need to make a change to be true to yourself. How did you make that happen?
Yeah, it was a big leap, and it was terrifying. But I knew that if I stayed in the environment that I was in, even though I had gone back to work and, you know, was on the road again, I knew my life needed to change, and I was petrified. I went to a conference, actually, a professional conference, organization development conference, because I was a change management person. And I met a man there who had been meditating for over 18 years. And on my recovery, I had been reading a lot of spiritual books. It was the time when Conversations with God came out, and that book had really a profound effect on me. And I was really doing a lot of deep research and searching. I'd practiced some Buddhist insight meditation, and when I ran into this guy who'd been meditating for a long time, he was talking to me about, you know, Maharishi University of Management back in Iowa and, you know, transcendental meditation, and I just felt this light inside of me and this energy rise up, and I wanted to know more about it. And so what happened after that is I ended up being initiated into transcendental meditation, and I knew I needed what he was talking about. And so I actually took the leap, and my relationship had really died. We'd been together for 11 years, and there was nothing left after being on the road for so long. I knew I had to leave my whole life. So for me, it was a really dramatic and profound shift that was initiated by a light, by knowing, oh my gosh, this is what I've been searching for. I left everything. I left my job. I left my partner. I left my home. And I moved back to Iowa to study the technologies of consciousness and deep meditation, which really healed me. So when I work with people, I don't recommend that they destroy their entire life. I recommend that they take small steps. I've worked with mostly women who have been really struggling. And what we do is we start small. We start with, how can we make more space for yourself? How can we make more space in your day to tune in, even if it's a 5-minute breathing practice or finding a way to journal more? I have several different exercises that people can try out to see how they can find more solace, more space inside to start to tune into what their soul is asking them for. And then we start to take small steps. And over, you know, over some period of time, sometimes people take longer than others, they start to make their shift. And sometimes it leads to, okay, now is the time. I have the courage. I have the plan in place. I can make the leap. I can take that big shift. And then magical things happen to support them. That's been my own experience personally and the experience of those that I've guided.
That is so beautiful. So what would you suggest would be the first step or two for people to take within their life? You've covered some of it, but what are the most important couple steps for people to take?
I think the most important step is where I always start, is to make more personal space. So, like I said, either a breathing practice, some form of meditation, getting out to take walks, if that's a meditative, you know, mindful meditation, walking, starting to journal, you know, and do, you know, that sort of stream of consciousness journal writing where, you know, if I had my ideal life, I would, and then just start writing and not stopping, you know, for 5 minutes just to see what comes out, and just don't lift your pen from the paper and just keep writing. Some people know that as morning pages, you know, from some of Julia Cameron's work from many years ago. Any type of practice, either a breathing insight meditation practice, a mindfulness meditation, walking, journaling, drawing to music, dancing, any kind of a practice that can help them really drop into a deeper place, a quiet place. You can't hear your soul unless you're quiet inside. The ego gets very scared. It doesn't want to die, quote unquote, and it won't die. It just needs to die to who it's been so that it can make space for who it wants to become. And that's the piece, is we can't make space for the soul, we can't accommodate the soul if we don't make some space and tune in to what is the message within. So again, some type of deepening breathing practice, some type of formal meditation, mindfulness walking, yoga practice even. I'm working with a woman who's a yoga teacher, and she didn't realize it when she started doing yoga that it was a spiritual transformation journey. And so we're working with her to help bring her life more into alignment with what her soul is asking for her. So any of these types of practices that can bring you more in tune with what's going on inside.
I love that. I love that. And from a personal experience, I met the man of my dreams, and someone had suggested the practice of clearing space. So I cleared space in my closet, and he came to visit, and he hung his clothes there, and we decided to join together at his place. And, you know, which was across country. And he said, I'll just leave my clothes in this space and come out and help you move out. And there all of a sudden in the space I cleared were his clothes. And I thought, this is so important to create space for things coming in, physical space and mental space. And, of course, most importantly, spiritual space. And it's so beautiful that you do that for people, to help them see that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a joy and an honor. But this physical space does make a huge difference. Sometimes I'll have people go through their closets and start to clean out anything that doesn't resonate with them, that doesn't hold energy anymore, and make space. So it's physical space, exactly. Emotional space, mental space, and spiritual space.
It absolutely is. And I love that you're doing that for people. So I know you've contributed to several best-selling books, and now you're doing your own book based on this amazing work. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, I'd be delighted, Vicki. It's, you know, very dear and dear to my heart. So much of my training since that whole experience of crashing and burning 20 years ago, actually, this year, has been really learning how do we evolve? How does our soul speak to us? And how do we tune into that process? Is there a journey? Is there predictable phases of our journey to be more of who we're designed to be, to live more of our authentic self? And through my own studies, through my own training of many, many years, I took the studies of Carl Jung towards the end of his career. He was looking at the journey of the soul through the framework of alchemy. And so he wrote significantly about inner alchemy, and then through my teacher's teaching of the practical implementation of the inner alchemical journey of the soul's transformation, that's the process that I use with my clients and what I write about in the book. Because my book, which is called Midlife Rebirth, we don't realize, and there's nothing I've researched, there's not much in the literature now that talks about these inner alchemical phases of transition that we go through when we make the commitment to live a soul-directed life. And so in the book, I talk about what does it mean when our life falls apart, you know, the dissolving phase, which is the first phase. We have to make space. So what does that mean? It means we have to dissolve away the parts of our life that no longer will serve and is meaningful to the being that we're becoming, to the next alchemical version of who we're going to become, a more golden and lighter version of ourselves than who we are now. And that tends to throw people into a huge amount of crisis and stress. My own experience of that dark night, several of my clients have had other experiences where they've been on the wrong side of a political move at work and find themselves kicked out, where they've been laid off, where they get a physical crisis, where a relationship falls apart, where there's some catastrophic event in their family, something that really is that dark night that dissolves away who we were. And that helps us make space for the journey. But most of us want to just jump right into what's next. You know, the ego gets very nervous. Oh, I have to latch onto something. If this is no longer who I am, then I have to find out who I can be now. And so the process unfolds in the soul's timing, not in our ego's timing or in our mental timing. The soul has its own time and speaks in metaphor and symbols. So unless we know the language of the soul, we don't tend to honor or understand what is unfolding. And that's what I talk about in the book, the dissolving phase and then the inspiring phase where we start to explore what has life for us now. And then the expanding phase where we start to dream about what's possible and what might our life look like if we were to live some life that is more inspiring to us. And then, of course, the manifesting phase, which is when we bring that vision into reality. And so that's what I write about in the book, and also how I guide my clients is through those phases. What are the symbols? What are the signs? What are the practices that will help me through that alchemical journey to have a more fulfilling and greater, expansive, and juicy life?
Oh, I love that. I really love that. So what kind of challenges were you faced with? Because this book and the wonderful, wonderful knowledge that you share through classes and all of the coaching and so forth that you do, the base is very personal for you. How were you able to overcome maybe the challenge of being able to create that for everyone else based on your own personal story, which was not without drama?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question, Vicki. And, you know, I mean, it's not easy. And actually, this is some of the guidance that I've been given from author coaches, you know, and people that have reviewed my manuscript to date. And they've said, you know, you need actually to put more of yourself in there because people want to relate. And like you had asked me earlier, you know, what are my own personal experiences that can help others if others are going through that? And that's what helps me. When I think of some of the challenging situations that I've been in and how difficult they were, how emotionally painful they were, and sometimes physically painful, if any part of my story can help someone not get stuck in some of those dark places, that they know there's some hope, there's a light, that it's a process, that makes it much easier for me to be able to share very vulnerably because I know how scary it is because I've been there. And I know that hearing that someone else has been through the same journey or even maybe a darker journey than they're going through gives them hope and allows them to open up a bit and move through in an easier way. We're not meant to take these journeys alone. We're really meant to have support and to have the safety, the container, a safe container where we can go through our transformation process. You know, a caterpillar doesn't become a butterfly without a cocoon. And that's what's really required. And so if my own story and the work I do can help someone have that safe cocoon so they can become the butterfly that they're meant to be, then I'm happy to share. That's really helped me a lot to keep that perspective.
That's a beautiful perspective. And I think it's so wonderful because as you pass that on and as people increase in their desire to know how important their stories are, and this is really, really important to me, that they get their stories out in the world mm-hmm. and it moves others. It's so mm-hmm. powerful.
Yeah, it is. We are a species that has history and story. All of our fairy tales, all of our legends. I mean, Joseph Campbell talks about that, the power of myth and the power of story. so that, I think, speaks to us in such a deep way. And the more we can share our stories, the more we can be healed ourselves, because it helps us to share our story. One of the things Reb Zalman Schachter said, he was one of the teachers in some of my training programs, he talks about the most important thing for someone to do as they're starting to make their transition out of this life is to tell their story. It helps the soul to gather all the parts together so that it can leave in a wholeness. It can leave totally integrated. So the more we can share our stories, not only heals ourselves and heals our own spiritual wounds and soul journey experiences, but it also helps others because it gives them a way to connect to the humanity that we all live in.
That is so beautiful. And what's so wonderful about the age in which we live is that it connects universally. It is available to everyone across continents, across the world.
Yes.
It's just really a phenomenal thing.
So yeah, we're all humans. We share the same journey, really.
Yes. That is so true and so important, especially at this time. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at your work and you're looking at the book that is upcoming that really shares with people your work all over the world, what would you like readers to take away from it?
I think, well, there's a couple of things. The first one that came to me is hope, that you can live a life that brings you deep joy and fulfillment and the full expression of who you're born to be. I mean, that's the bottom line essence of not just my book, but my work in the world. And I also wish them, because the book is a self-help book, you know, it has lots of practices and meditations and checklists and all kinds of really yummy things to help you, help whoever, you know, reads the book to have a companion. So I want them to feel like they have a support system. They have the tools to help them go through any type of transformation and transition process. Midlife tends to be the most dramatic one, and when the soul really calls us to individuate, you know, to live the life that we were meant to live and not a life that we've been told to live or that we've taken on to live because it's acceptable. I wish for people to take away that they have the tools and the understanding and the mechanism and the process for them to live the life that will give them more deep joy.
That is so beautiful. And I mean, I know this is way too early, but if you were to look at your whole entire work and the books that you've written and are going to write, mm-hmm. and think about how that might impact the world, what would that look like for you?
That is a big question. I feel so much of the suffering that people, and it's self-inflicted, much of it, you know. I think we're our own worst enemies. You know, people say that. I really believe that. There's so much of our conditioning and our negative self-talk, the inner doubt that we have, the limiting beliefs that we take on about who we can be and what's okay. And I can't even imagine what our world would be like if more people let that go and really stepped into the magic and the brilliance and the uniqueness of who they were born to be, and to not suffer anymore, to really celebrate and embrace who they are. What would the world be like? It would be amazing. It would be much happier and much more creative and much more joyful. It would be pretty fun, I think.
Oh, I love that. You know, I love that vision of the world, and I love the way you contribute to that. Mm. And Nancy, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. It was just such a joy for you to share all of your wisdom.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicki. I'm honored to share, and thank you so much for reaching out and asking me to be part of this process.
Now, I know people will want to know more about you and be able to connect with you. Do you have a way they can do that on the internet?
Yeah, the easiest way is to just go to my website, everydayspirituality.com, and they can get, you know, I have a couple of free downloads there. They can get a meditation download. An excerpt from my book is actually there on understanding that deeper process and purpose of midlife. And they can also read some of my writings and also reach out to me directly that way through an email from my website.
That is so generous of you, that direct connection and all of this
sure.
great information that people can access free. So I want to make sure that they do take advantage of it. Can you please one more time repeat the URL?
Yeah, everydayspirituality.com. I've had this website URL for a long time, actually. I think since around 2002 or something, it popped into my head. Oh, I grabbed it. And I've had several people who are marketing professionals in this business, and they say, oh my God, that is the best URL. You need to trademark that. That's an incredible name. And I'm like, really? I mean, it just came to me, you know, I didn't really kind of like go craft it. So everydayspirituality.com.
Nancy, thank you so much once again for your generosity of all the wonderful things on that website. I hope everyone will go visit and enjoy it immensely and really experience great, great growth as a result. And also, thank you for your generosity of being with us here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicki. It was really my joy and my pleasure. Thanks.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have an amazing week.